Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from TDG Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TDG. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Fletcher Morgan. Now, it's been a while since I had Fletcher back on the show. It was the tail end of June when we highlighted an update out of TDG. So just to get everybody up to speed, the company is a silver-focused precious metals developer in the Americas. The company has a few projects in this Tootagon production corridor in North Central BC, the Shasta Project, Baker Project, and Metz Project, all very close together. And the Shasta Project is one that we are starting to see some preliminary drill results out of the company. November 29th, the company released the first drill results at Shasta that reported up to 25 grams per ton gold and over 100 grams per ton silver. Now, Fletcher, I do want you to explain these results because these are simply just preliminary drill results. So you are highlighting here mostly half meter widths, and you break down a lot of these samples compared to over limits. So the over limits being over 10 grams per ton gold and over 100 grams per ton silver. We're seeing a number of half meter intercepts where these over limits were hit. You actually even have a couple drill results, like in the title, of up to 25 grams per ton gold. Please just explain these preliminary results to us first.
Well, firstly, thanks for having me on the show today. Yeah, absolutely happy to explain them. So typically what would happen in this situation is we'd obviously wait for the final assay results from the laboratories before publishing them. And obviously then what we would try to do is composite them into larger intervals of a certain grade, gold and silver. We felt that these results were too important to sit on, even though they're preliminary in nature, for a couple of reasons. And I'll go into those in a minute. But just to explain the results themselves then. So what we're seeing there is, as you mentioned, intervals of around half a meter where they're either over 10 grams a ton, or some of them are over limit on the silver at over 100 grams a ton. Those things have to be then obviously be re-assayed, and that will take time. But what was important is the fact that there's continuity in terms of those intervals. We're missing a few results within it. They'll come in due course as well. But what I would encourage people to look at is to start trying in their minds to aggregate them and start to see what we're seeing, which is significant widths, we believe, will come out in the final results of decent gold grades and surprisingly high silver grades from our perspective. And that's encouraging for a couple of reasons. The first thing is that those drill results that we just published were around 50 meters to the south of the extent of the small-scale historical workings at the Shasta project, underground workings, and over 150 meters to the south of the small open pit that was mined at Shasta. And if you then look at some of the plan views that we've published in our corporate presentation and news releases this year, you'll also note that there is historical drilling that goes even further south than that. And so what we're starting to see is the drilling results from 2021 start to provide color on and hopefully confirm the historical ore zone that we believe from the historical drilling exists to the south of the Shasta Creek open pit and small scale underground workings. And that, from our perspective, is also important because we're in the business now of building ounces for the Shasta project. And so it's important that they're of the right grade, showing the right combination of gold and silver, but also that they are, you know, in line with what our historical modeling indicates is something that could be mineable and could be heading towards a mining decision as hopefully as soon as 2024 or 2025. And that's what we're seeing. Now, we've also undertaken drilling along the JM zone, which is effectively almost like a parallel zone to the Creek zone further to the east. And where those two zones meet, they kind of almost form a little bit of an arrowhead. We've drilled to the north of that as well, and we're starting to see the preliminary results emerging from that. Whether we'll choose to publish some of those or not, you don't want to get in the habit of jumping the gun on these things. It's important to be sure, but for the reasons that I've stated, we thought it was really important to get those prelim results out because they are effectively a step out hole from the historical workings and show, in our opinion, that that ore zone that we believe to exist does in fact exist.
Yeah, Fletcher, it's interesting to see some of these preliminary results, and they are encouraging. And another thing that really caught my attention, and I think you kind of alluded to it in part of that answer, was the silver grades in tandem with the gold grades. Most people were looking at this project as mostly a gold focus, even from a historical nature. But some of those silver grades are worth mentioning. You know, does that change your interpretation of the project, or what could you say as far as what you're finding now with the silver in tandem with the gold?
So we know that the silver signature has always been there. We know that they produce doré on site with silver. Okay, so look, we're thinking now that this that perhaps when they approached the project historically, they were really more focused on it as a gold project, and the silver was a byproduct. We're excited by what we see as a persistent supply demand deficit in the silver space. So we're really corporately looking to rebalance TDG as a company more towards a sort of silver gold bias rather than gold silver. And so the grades that we're seeing at Shasta are on theme for us corporately, as well as obviously in terms of scientifically. So we're going to be paying more attention to the silver component to this moving forwards. We're going to be undertaking, you know, metallurgical sampling. We want to make sure then that obviously we're approaching this project through that lens, so that we're going to be getting, maximizing the recoveries. And I should say that historically, the combined recoveries of the gold and silver ran at around 94% through the small scale mill that was on site, still on site at our Baker property. But what we're thinking here is that there's an opportunity to revision certainly parts of Shasta as something that's more balanced silver gold rather than gold silver. Exciting times. And, you know, it's early days. Those overlimit samples, we don't know what the actual numbers are going to end up being. And so maybe all of this is, something that we'll have to then obviously sit down and revisit when we got the final results and can really figure this thing out. But what we're seeing is enough to make us want to get back there as soon as possible. We finished our drilling just before the middle of November. We drilled just over 8,000 meters of oriented core in 55 holes at Shasta, all within the permitted mine area. So we embarked on this journey thinking that we would get a combination done of drilling within the permitted mine area at Shasta, but also stepping out outside the permitted mine area. We do have the permit in hand to be able to do it. We just didn't have the time. The oriented core that we've been drilling is deliberate as well. It gives us another layer of scientific information to help understand how the Shasta deposit works. And we're really excited and thinking that we want to get back there as soon as possible. Our camp is fully winterized, and all things equal, we'd be looking to get back there as soon as March if we can next year. So it's exciting times, another program next year, and hopefully stepping out of that permitted mine area and starting to see if some of the mineralized satellite zones that we know exist from historical work are obviously, you know, sufficient to warrant bringing them into a resource model, but also whether or not there's continuity between the known ore zones and those satellite zones. So a lot still to play for at Shasta. She's surprising us to date, and I've no doubt she'll continue to surprise us.
So Fletcher, as you said, this is still very early on, and you don't even really have back these drill results except for a few small widths here. But just to recap, the overall strategy here of the company is to look at some older, although these aren't even very old, some of these mines produced between 1981 and 2012, but you're looking at these old mines that showed some very high grades. So now you're going back in here with, I understand, the overall goal of building out some ounces. Sounds more like a few small pits to show, I guess, some high margin ounces. Take us through the overall strategy then, and how this drill program is really just kicking off that strategy.
Okay, so look, I'll deal with the strategy at the Shasta level first, okay, and then I'll build it up into the bigger corporate strategy. So at the Shasta level, you're absolutely right. There was historical high grade underground mining, combination underground and open pit, small scale. And what was known in the 90s that associated with some of the high grade and ultra high grade was this halo style mineralization that some of our neighbors up in the Tudugong production corridor, like Benchmark, have really started to really unpack and demonstrate by their own drilling. Now, we are starting to see that in our preliminary drill results as well, this halo style mineralization. It's of medium and lower grade, but that are potentially above cutoff in a mining operation. And so Shasta, our vision for Shasta is really that it could well be a large open pit that brings in the zones that we know from historical work and hopefully extends them with the additional drilling that we're doing. And so at Shasta, that's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to the point where we've built a resource there that's based on a combination of that historical drilling and our up-to-date drilling, our oriented core drilling, and put together a resource that we think is economic. We're not interested in Shasta as a vanity project. We think it can be bigger. A lot of projects in BC could probably be bigger than the guys that, the sizes that they're showing them right now. But really, this is about mineable ounces, and that's certainly the case with Shasta. And then if you want to zoom up to more of the corporate level, it is exactly to go back into these unloved historical producing mines and revision them and try to bring them up to, modern standards, modern drilling, where we can then understand what the opportunity is there. And as a company, therefore, what we're really not so interested in is you wouldn't characterize us as a pure play discovery exploration company. That would not be the case. We're willing to take geological risk, but we really want to see a decent starting point in terms of historical work, historical production, and historical knowledge based on historical science that lends us to believe that the geological risk there is worth taking. And then what we're prepared to take are two other forms of risk. We're prepared to take operational risk, and we're prepared to take political risk. And political, with a small p, that is really related not just to the jurisdictions we're operating in, but also obviously working in partnership, which we're committed to doing with local communities, local businesses, and making sure that we're making the best out of these projects for all of our stakeholders, as we drive them through to those production decisions. So you can see that in our approach with Shasta. You can see that in our approach with our Metz mining lease. You'll see it next year. Our research indicates that when Skeena owned it in 2009, there was a news release that came out February 2009. Your listeners can go and look it up, where it was indicated there was 460,000 tons of 11.31 grams per ton open pitable at Metz. Our investigations indicate that none of that was extracted, certainly wasn't processed. And so we're excited to get back up there this season and start trying to validate if it is indeed still there and if there's any potential to expand that resource. And then with Baker, again, there's a wealth of historical information. All of that information lends us to believe that Baker is complex. It's big. It's a 10 square kilometer alteration footprint, and not to be entered into lightly. By which I mean, yes, there seems to be pods of historical high grade around some of the historical small scale production. But really with Baker, what we're interested in is understanding the controls up there. There's an MDRU piece of research that was done relatively recently indicating that there could be a shallow porphyry associated with Baker, as shallow as 500 meters and coming to the surface in places. Yes, that's interesting to us. But really, we believe it needs a very systematic approach that will take a number of years and will take, certainly dollars that we think are better targeted right now, advancing the likes of Shasta and Metz. And then, obviously, you can start to see, as we talk about the strategy and how we're enacting that strategy, you can start to see then why we're interested in the project that we've identified for acquisition in the Maricunga district of Chile.
as part of your strategy, yeah, you can see how the Shasta, Baker, and Mets all tie together. You've got the mill. You can see how that could be a hub and spoke potential for the company. You'll keep exploring, but you do have some known entities there. So it's not just a true exploration. It's really a development story and possibly a near-term production story down the road. But you've also mentioned in a press release just recently on November 2nd that you're at a pretty advanced stage in your talks about picking up the Nueva Esperanza silver gold project, and that's in the Maricunga Belt in Chile. Just bring everybody up to speed on that project and why you think that fits into the overall corporate strategy, having that silver gold focus.
Absolutely. So the status is that we've signed a definitive agreement with the current owners, and we have until the end of January to line up the financing component to be able to then advance to closing that transaction, which we would anticipate closing by the end of February 2022, possibly by the end of March at the latest. And why is this asset exciting to us? Well, there's a few reasons. The first thing is that it is more advanced than the other assets we have currently in TDG. It is permitted. It has the water rights, which are really important in that part of Chile. It comes with water rights. It had a PFS published on it as recently as 2016 at much lower metal prices than current. And we see it as an opportunity to take the excellent work that's been done by the current owners. It's a non-core asset for them. They're focused on other opportunities. But at the same time, that's not to say that they didn't want to see the asset move into the right hands. And through getting to know them getting to know us, I think we've managed to convince them that TDG is the right company to receive this project, because we will pick up the baton from where they've left it, and we will drive that project forward and do many of the things that they'd anticipated doing themselves had they had the time and the resources. And so what you're going to see is us, assuming we're successful in acquiring the project, advancing it through effectively a translation exercise from JORC, PFS, and there was an historical reserve on it as recently as 2015, and translating that over to 43101. So our intention would be to publish a PEA on it by the end of Q1 of 2022, and then to drive it through PFS and feasibility 43101 by the end of 2022. And we think that's a fabulous way to not only unlock the value that we believe is within that project for ourselves, but the vendor receives a significant equity position as part of the closing, 14% of TDG on a post-close basis, which means that their shareholders will also participate in the advancement of that Nueva asset. And why do we like it? Well, again, thematically, it's silver dominant, it's road accessible, it is permitted. Our Baker Shasta project is within a permitted mine area. The Nueva Esperanza project is permitted. So for us, it has all the hallmarks of a plug and play opportunity where some excellent work has been done historically. And we believe that we can actually bring the expertise of some of the key advisors we've now brought into orbit, the likes of Stephen Quinn, who, the former CEO of Midas Gold, and who was instrumental in building the Minto mine in the Yukon. Bringing Stephen into orbit was a deliberate step, not just to help us with our due diligence, but to also try to understand the dimensions that we could enhance the value from that project. And we're seeing it in the form of the potential to optimize the mine plan, to try to explore for some high-grade feeder structures. But also, we know that there's exploration opportunity outside the permitted area and within it as well. So, for a number of reasons, it's very exciting. And then the other thing to mention, which I believe is very important, is that when you're a company that's trying to grow as we are, you need to have news flow. And we're going to have that in spades when it comes to, obviously, the Shasta drill results, et cetera. But Tudugon has a season. And even if we do manage to get that up there in March next year, that would be atypical. Normally, you would expect the season for the Tudugon to run from somewhere around the end of May, June, through to October, November. And the season in the Maricunga is the opposite. And so we would expect to be, starting to get the drills turning in a typical year around now and drilling all the way through to April. And so if you're looking for a company that's got a very clear vision, that's got the right strategy to deliver that vision, that's got the right asset mix to be able to work on and is going to then have all year round news flow, then I think all your listeners should take a closer look at TDG because I think we're really heading in the right direction and putting together an asset package that you know will make sense to the markets and from at a wide range of metal prices.
All right, Fletcher, thank you for this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will follow up with any of those questions, and we're also definitely going to follow up on the back of the drill results when they are released out of Shasta. Fletcher, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.